live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
concerning news on Johnson & Johnson's vaccine and the Delta variant.
On Capitol Hill, Chuck Schumer's push for an infrastructure vote appears headed for defeat.
Trump ally Tom Barrack jailed on illegal lobbying charges.
And it's the slowest start to the year in almost a decade for Netflix.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is pushing hard for congestion pricing in the city. Plus, a federal judge blocks Arkansas's abortion law. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. For the first time in 50 years, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. The Yankees beat the Phillies. The Mets lost in Cincinnati.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And futures are higher this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 207. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 0.8%. Yield 1.24%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% or 75 cents at $67.95 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.2%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. But first, we want to bring you the latest on the fight against the pandemic. Daily COVID infections continue to climb. Now there's concerning news on Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. New York University scientists found that J&J's shot produced 5 times less antibodies against the Delta variant than an earlier strain. This raises questions about how well the shot will hold up against the variant that now accounts for 83% of the U.S. cases. But J&J says the study examined only one aspect of protection and did not consider long-lasting responses among immune cells stimulated by its vaccine. Earlier this month, J&J researchers said their own data showed the shot neutralizes the Delta variant and booster shots were not needed. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. More evidence this morning of the dramatic toll the pandemic is having. U.S. life expectancy dropped the most in more than 7 decades last year as COVID-19 claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans. The first year of the pandemic reduced life expectancy at birth by 1.5 years.
Show me the money. That's what London office workers are saying if their bosses want them back in the office. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Some of Wall Street's biggest banks are taking a hardline approach to ending working from home. Here in London, in a survey, almost half of people looking for a new job say that flexible working is now one of their top priorities. And just 1 in 6 employees wants a full-time return to the office. But the offer of cash would change their mind, with more than 40% saying $7,000 a year would keep them happy. Live in London, in the office, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Heading to Japan now, we're seeing more COVID cases emerge at the Olympics. Organizers have reported 71 infections linked to the event. And Bloomberg's Sophie Jackman has more from Tokyo.
Of these 71 cases, it's only a handful who are athletes. The majority are Tokyo 2020 contractors, some of whom will have no contact with the athletes at all. In fact, some of them are not here in the capital. When it comes to how each of those groups under the Tokyo 2020 purview are supposed to be isolated and kept from each other and kept safe and regularly tested, there is a labyrinth of rules about how to do this in the playbooks.
And Bloomberg's Sophie Jackman says Japan projects cases in Tokyo could hit a new high in early August, right before the end of the Olympics.
Well, we move from Tokyo now to Washington, where it's all about infrastructure today. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's attempt to start debate on a still unfinished bill is on track to fail. Republicans, including Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, say they won't open debate without text spelling out the deal.
I'm not going to vote to move anything forward when you do not even have a bill. This is what is so interesting, is Chuck Schumer has decided he's going to vote for it anyway, even though there is no content to the bill. He wants to vote on the title of the bill so he can say Republicans voted against infrastructure.
Senator Marsha Blackburn was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On with Joe Matthew. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, a former ally of Donald Trump is back in the news. Tom Barrack, the founder of Colony Capital and former chairman of President Trump's inauguration, is being held on illegal lobbying charges. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The charges include illegally lobbying for a foreign government. They charge he participated in efforts to advance the interests of the United Arab Emirates at the direction of senior UAE officials. Now, just days before the arrest, Barrack talked with Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker and said he had no regrets about being a close Trump ally.
I paid a personal price for it. The adversarialness of America in squaring off on both sides is something I still don't understand.
Barrack's attorneys say he is not guilty. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to earnings now, Netflix forecast sluggish subscriber gains for the third quarter. More on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company says it expects to sign up 3.5 million new customers in the third quarter compared with the 5.86 million that analysts had projected. This has been Netflix's slowest start to the year since 2013, when it was operating in fewer than half as many countries. The company also said customers are watching less TV this year on average than they did 1 year ago. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. On Wall Street this morning, it's looking less and less likely that retirement is coming for J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon. The 65-year-old billionaire was granted a special gift to persuade him to lead the biggest U.S. bank for another, quote, significant number of years. Dimon was awarded 1.5 million stock appreciation rights, which let him take a profit if shares rise.
And the exodus from Credit Suisse continues. The bank's losing 4 more senior bankers following scandals involving Archegos Capital Management and Greensill Capital. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio once again made a push for congestion pricing. De Blasio, at his daily briefing, called for the MTA to act now and says congestion pricing could bring $15 billion to the system.
We want to fix the horrible flooding that we saw last week, if we want to make sure the signals are fixed so the trains actually can move, if you want modern stations, here it is, staring us in the face.
Mayor de Blasio also says he won't be buying any Cherry Garcia for a while. De Blasio says he will boycott Ben and Jerry's after the company says it will no longer sell its ice cream in occupied Palestinian territories.
Ben and Jerry, I think they're good people with good values, but this is a mistake. They shouldn't do this. BDS is a movement that will undermine peace in the Middle East. It's as simple as that. You cannot have peace if you undermine the economic reality and create division.
De Blasio's comments come after the Vermont-based company says doing business in those areas is inconsistent with its values. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett says Ben & Jerry's has decided to brand itself as the anti-Israel ice cream. Alvin Bragg, who would be Manhattan's first black district attorney, has officially been declared the winner of the Democratic primary race for the seat. The New York City Board of Elections yesterday announced certified results for the June 22nd primary. As district attorney, Bragg would take over an investigation of former President Donald Trump and his company that the office has been conducting. Bragg is widely expected to win the general election in November against Republican Thomas Kenneth. A federal judge has blocked an Arkansas law banning nearly all abortions in the state. Judge Christine Baker called the law categorically unconstitutional and issued a preliminary injunction preventing its enforcement. The law that Governor Asa Hutchinson signed in March would have banned nearly all abortions in Arkansas, with no exceptions for rape and incest.
The law was set to take effect on July 28th. The Democratic National Committee raised $87.1 million over the first 6 months of the year. According to the Federal Election Commission, it's more than its Republican counterpart. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Milwaukee Bucks' only previous NBA championship was so long ago that the team's star back then, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was still known then as Lou Alcindor, a wait that took half a century. Now over.
It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. Let the celebration begin.
That's Bucks Radio after Game 6 win over Phoenix, 105-98. Giannis Antetokounmpo had a game for the ages. He scored almost half the Milwaukee Bucks points. He went for 50. Incredibly made 17 of 19 free throws. His free throw struggles, the only subpar aspect to his game, had led opposing fans to mock him. The Bucks came from 2-0 down back in round two against the Nets and then did it to the Suns. First team since Miami in 06 to win the finals in six games after trailing 2-0. Chris Paul got to his first finals but still without a title. He led Phoenix with 26. At the stadium, Yankees beat the Phillies 6-4. They hit four solo home runs. Brett Gardner, Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, and Esteban Florial, the latest to just get called up from Scranton. Aroldis Chapman gave up a homer but struck out the side of the ninth, got his first save in over a month. The Mets, who out-homered the Reds 7-0 in that win Monday, gave up three home runs last night, lost to Cincinnati 4-3. Jets assistant coach Greg Knapp suffered life-threatening injuries in a bicycle accident in California. Knapp's been a coach for 25 years. He was getting ready to come to New York next week for the start of training camp. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures are higher by 18 points right now. Dow futures up 191. NASDAQ futures up 19 points. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 1.23%. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 5:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe are climbing for a second day, along with U.S. stock index futures, as a slew of corporate earnings take the focus off concerns about the economic impact of coronavirus flare-ups. Treasuries are slipping, the dollar strengthening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 191. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 1.24%. And the yield on the two-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3% of 87 cents at $68.07 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.70 at $18.07.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1776 against the dollar, British pound 1.3629, and the yen is at 110.05. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's attempt to begin Senate debate today on a still unfinished bipartisan infrastructure bill is on track to fail. Republicans are saying that there is no way a deal can be reached by then, and that they won't vote to open debate without text spelling out the deal. Tom Barrack, the founder of Colony Capital and a former top fundraiser for Donald Trump, was arrested on charges of illegally lobbying for a foreign government. Barrack and two others are accused of engaging in unlawful efforts to advance the interests of the United Arab Emirates in the U.S. The Bucks won their first NBA championship in 50 years. Milwaukee beat the Phoenix Suns 105-98 to win the series 4-2. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Orioles and Giants. The Nationals and A's won. The Red Sox game was postponed. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on this showdown vote coming up in the Senate this afternoon on infrastructure. Greg Valliere joins us live now, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, good morning. And as we just heard in the news, it does look more and more likely. Even Senator Schumer has been hinting that he doesn't expect this vote to go forward. So why hold it?
Yeah, exactly. It would perhaps, Nathan, create an image of disarray, which, of course, is accurate.
So what happens next if this vote does, as we expect, go down in defeat? What comes next?
Well, the bill isn't dead yet. I do think that there's a chance they can put it together. A lot of Republicans, certainly 10 or 11 who have agreed to the compromise, really do like the idea of spending more on highways, bridges, dams, broadband, water. There is support for this, and I do think that they can put it together next week. But the Republicans are not going to vote for a bill today or tomorrow that isn't fully written, and it hasn't fully fleshed out how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, we spoke with Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn on Bloomberg Sound on yesterday afternoon on Bloomberg Radio. She's suggesting that Schumer might be holding this vote just so he can have the name of a bill placed on the floor and put Republicans sort of on the record saying that they voted against infrastructure. Is there a political dynamic here? Is that what's happening, that this is just pure politics?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would also add that there's growing dissent in the House, which has been not really part of the narrative for the last couple of weeks. In the House, an awful lot of progressives, liberal Democrats, are saying we're being overlooked. Chuck Schumer is too accommodative to the Republicans, and they want to be heard. That further complicates things. I still think that we can get a deal late next week or the week after that, but we're not going to get a deal this week.
Yeah, there had been some talk after that closed-door meeting that Speaker Pelosi had yesterday with her caucus that the House could move forward on its own on an infrastructure bill, that they could take a go-first approach. Is that something that's a possibility, or are you still weighing the prospect of the Senate coming forward with something next week?
I still think that's the more likely scenario, but I would say this, Nathan, not to get too deep into the weeds, but they could just put all of this together in a massive bill, Infrastructure 1, Infrastructure 2, a budget for next year, a debt ceiling extension, maybe some new tax hikes, and put it all together in one enormous package that would be dealt with in the fall. But again, this is something that is not imminent.
Yeah, that raises another big question, just to stick in the weeds, because that's kind of where we live here on Bloomberg Radio. But if they do lump this all into one big bill, they'd have to pass that with a supermajority, wouldn't they? I mean, that wouldn't really be able to pass under budget reconciliation, where they wouldn't need Republican support, or am I wrong?
They might. This is sort of out of left field, but I think some people are saying, let's lump it into all one bill. The problem with that scenario is that you could get a couple of Democrats headed by Joe Manchin of West Virginia who are going to say, no, it's too ambitious, it's too much, I don't want to go there. So that is still another potential obstacle that has to be overcome.
Yeah, and I guess the big obstacle, if you want to put it that way, for Senator Manchin is he seemed pretty insistent that he does want at least some Republican support for something coming out of this whole debate. Do you think we're going to get it?
That's the big question, obviously. And I would say for Manchin, the issue may not be taxes. The issue may not be spending. The issue is that this bill is going to cut funding for fossil fuels. And Joe Manchin, as we all know, is from West Virginia.
Yeah, big coal state, of course. Yep. So in our last 30 seconds here, Greg Valliere, there's been some talk about this whole debate eating into the August recess. Do you think senators are going to have to put off their vacation plans?
They're scheduled to go out on Friday, the 6th of August. Schumer is saying he's going to keep them in if they don't have something done. Good luck with that. I think a lot of members want to get out of town. It's miserable. It's hot here. The air is filled with smoke from the fires out west. I think a lot of people in Congress want to leave. The bottom line is this. We'll get some progress, but I think it won't come until well into September or maybe even October.
Now, when we're going to be heading into a debt ceiling debate, yep. Which we'll have to leave for later. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, AGF Investments. Thanks for your insights this morning as we do look ahead to that vote with Senator Schumer putting the vote down for infrastructure later on this afternoon. We'll be following it throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now up 21 points. Dow futures up 215. NASDAQ futures up 26. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. More clouds than sun today. Scattered showers and storms going up near 90 degrees. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow and Friday. Highs back in the low 80s. Currently 74 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Daily COVID infections continue to climb this month, and now there's concerning news on Johnson & Johnson's single-dose vaccine. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. New York University scientists found that J&J's shot produced 5 times less antibodies against the Delta variant than an earlier strain. This raises questions about how well the shot will hold up against the variant that now accounts for 83% of U.S. cases. But J&J says the study examined only one aspect of protection and did not consider long-lasting responses among immune cells stimulated by its vaccine. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Let's turn to Washington now, where it's all about infrastructure today. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's attempt to start debate on a still unfinished bill is on track to fail. Republicans, including Senator Shelley Moore Capito, say they won't open debate without text spelling out the deal.
To proceed to a bill that has not been written, has not been scored, we don't know what it's going to cost, how it's going to get paid for, I don't see that passing. I just think that there's too many details, too much at stake here. We need to see the details, and that's what I'm awaiting myself.
Senator Shelley Moore Capito was a guest on Bloomberg's Balance of Power with David Westin. Catch the show weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
On the earnings front this morning, shares of Netflix are little changed despite getting off to the slowest start in nearly a decade. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Alex Webb says investors still expect Netflix to remain number one in streaming.
You add other things on top of your Netflix. That is increasingly the assumption that's being made. It is almost certainly the case in North America. The ability to produce more foreign language shows outside of the US is increasingly making it the base layer in places like France, Germany, India, the Spanish-speaking world. And that is why investors remain relatively bullish about its prospects.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist Alex Webb says Netflix executives still see plenty of room for growth. The company forecasts growth of 3.5 million subscribers in the third quarter, while shy of estimates nearing 6 million. And again, futures are on the rise. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 195, and NASDAQ futures up 21. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, the yield 1.25%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.20%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is once again calling on the MTA to implement congestion pricing. De Blasio made his push during his daily briefing yesterday.
Congestion, unfortunately, is back, and it's starting to come back with a vengeance. This city needs to keep moving. That's who we are. and we need to be able to move around to recover. People need to be able to move around for their livelihoods. But what are we seeing? We're seeing congestion start to stand in the way of that.
De Blasio says the MTA could have $15 billion in its coffers if it enacted congestion pricing.
There are so many things. We want to be better to the climate. More electric buses. You can buy that with $15 billion. You could buy new subway cars. You can make subway stations accessible for disabled folks. There are so many things you could do. You could make it possible for New Yorkers to get to their subway without having to swim their way to the platform.
De Blasio also says New York City's vaccine administration rate has plunged to less than 15,000 a day from more than 100,000 daily in mid-April as cases increase. A federal judge has blocked an Arkansas law banning nearly all abortions in the state. Judge Christine Baker called the law categorically unconstitutional and issued a preliminary injunction preventing its enforcement. The law that Governor Asa Hutchinson signed in March would have banned nearly all abortions in Arkansas, with no exceptions for rape or incest. Washington state health officials say a spike in shellfish illnesses is connected to the severe heat in the Pacific Northwest. So far this month, the state has reported a record 52 cases of fibriosis, a disease transmitted by eating raw seafood. The bacteria that causes the disease multiplies faster in warmer conditions. Todd Phillips is director of the State Office of Environmental Health and Safety.
We're seeing biotoxins in areas that we haven't seen them at the levels we are seeing before. You know, it's something we're definitely paying attention to.
Phillips' comments come as wildfires in the West, including one burning in Oregon, are creating hazy skies as far away as here in New York City. The Federal Aviation Administration has issued final approval for a project to build a monorail connecting trains from Manhattan to LaGuardia Airport. The FAA's decision means the roughly $2 billion project overseen by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey can pursue federal funding. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Nathan, a 50-point game to end a 50-year drought. Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo had one of the greatest championship-clinching games in NBA history. He scored 50 points, had 14 rebounds, 5 block shots. He made 17 of 19 free throws after making barely over half of them throughout the playoffs. The Bucks blew an early lead, trailed at the half, and beat the Suns 105-98. Won the series in 6 after losing the first two. Just their second title ever, and the other was in 1971. Giannis had missed the last two games of the previous round with a knee injury, yet he had one of the greatest finals ever, shot 62%, had 3 games with over 40 points. He was asked about his decision to remain in Milwaukee rather than pursue free agency.
I'm a people pleaser. You know, I don't like letting people down. I like letting, like, when I resigned with the city of Milwaukee, that's the main reason I resigned, because I didn't want to let the people down and think that, you know, I've done work extremely hard for them, which I do.
He thrilled not only the fans in the arena, but the 65,000 that had gathered at a nearby park. Third straight win for the injury and COVID-ravaged Yankees. They had 4 solo home runs, beat the Phillies 6-4. They used 6 pitchers, ending with their oldest Chapman, who struck out 3 in the ninth inning, got his first save in over a month. And the Yanks helped out the Mets, who remained 2.5 games ahead of the Phillies, despite the Mets losing in Cincinnati 4-3. Longtime NFL assistant Greg Knapp was getting ready for his first year as a Jets offensive assistant. He was in a bicycle accident in California, got hit by a car. Knapp has suffered life-threatening injuries. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Food truck operators and cart vendors in New York are asking customers when workers are returning to their offices. The Times reports that's because their ability to make meaningful profits depends on large number of workers returning. Some food trucks may have weathered the pandemic better than some of their restaurant peers because of their mobility. New Jersey ranks among the top 10 states and metro areas when it comes to wages for new hires in 2020. New Jersey ranked 10th with $3,376 a month, adjusted for the cost of living, according to credit building company Self. Nationwide, new hires earned an average of $3,266. An independent brewery has taken an unconventional approach to recruitment. Bolton Landing Brewery Company in upstate New York is out with a beer called Help Wanted. It includes a recruitment drive in its packaging.
That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a federal court says McDonald's must face Florida restaurant workers' allegations that it's liable for sexual harassment and discrimination at one of its locations.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting on Carnival and Princess settling a lawsuit filed by passengers who had to be quarantined after a COVID-19 outbreak aboard a cruise ship.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on government debt, which may be lower than expected back in the March budget, but cost much more in interest payments in June.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Fracking giant Halliburton is expanding in both the U.S. and foreign markets.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting the city has approved early plans for Sherwin-Williams' new downtown headquarters.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. On the earnings front today, Coca-Cola is expected to show a big jump in second quarter profit as the economy reopens. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Coke will benefit from easy comparisons with a year ago when restaurants and other venues were largely shut due to the pandemic. Now that diners and spectators are returning, analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are expecting to see a 31% surge in profits to about 56 cents a share. Coke is working on a string of six consecutive quarterly earnings beats. Revenue for the quarter is expected to rise about 30% to nearly $9.3 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. Ahead of those earnings, shares of Coca-Cola are up nearly 1% in early trading. Futures moving higher as well. S&P futures on the rise by 19 points at the moment. Dow futures up 200. NASDAQ futures up 16 points. The 10-year Treasury down 10.30 seconds. Yield 1.25%. This is Bloomberg. It's almost 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at SEIC.com/IMS. Stocks in Europe are climbing a second day along with U.S. stock index futures as a slew of corporate earnings take the focus off concerns about the economic impact of coronavirus flare-ups. Treasuries slipping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 201. And NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 1.4%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.7%. 10-year Treasury down 10.30 seconds, yield 1.25%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%, up 79 cents at $67.99 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $7.40 at $1,804 an ounce. The euro, 1.1771 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3638. And the yen is at 110.09. Taking a look at Bitcoin this morning at $30,896. And Coca-Cola is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The bipartisan infrastructure deal senators brokered with President Joe Biden is on thin ice. Senators are struggling to reach a compromise over how to pay for the nearly $1 trillion in public works spending. Republicans are preparing to block today's procedural vote with a filibuster. U.S. climate envoy John Kerry called on China to step up its efforts to reduce carbon emissions or put the world at risk of missing international targets. Kerry says without sufficient curbs by the world's biggest producer of greenhouse gases, limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius is essentially impossible. The Bucks won their first NBA championship in 50 years. Milwaukee beat the Phoenix Suns to win the series 4-2. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost, along with the Orioles and Giants. The Nationals and A's won. The Red Sox game postponed. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're watching shares of Netflix this morning, starting to see some movement in the pre-market after the streaming service reported subscriber numbers that came in above analyst estimates, but still a far cry from the giant audience Netflix had, a captive audience, really, during the pandemic year. Let's get some analysis now. Bloomberg opinion columnist Alex Webb joins us this morning, covers all things tech at Bloomberg Opinion. Alex, good morning. So we had about 1.5 million new subscribers last quarter. Netflix is projecting 3.5 million in the coming quarter. What was it, like 26 million last year? Should investors be concerned about the momentum?
I mean, to begin with, they clearly were a little bit. We saw that the stock dipped immediately after the numbers were released. The stock then did recover to an extent and was trading up the last I saw. There are ultimately two factors at play here. Firstly, of course, as you say, the difficult comps from last year. Blockbuster year, preconditions were brilliant for adding more subscribers. Everybody locked up at home, not much to do, certainly couldn't go out. Therefore, Netflix added a lot. But the other thing that happened, of course, was that it meant they couldn't produce as many shows as they might normally. So the normal cycle of reducing blockbusters on a regular frequency, that is what attracts new subscribers. It's and when you cease to do that, it makes it a difficult challenge. Now, that pent-up production of shows is now getting back to normal schedule, and we're going to start seeing them drop with greater pace as the year progresses. So that is some reason for optimism, and that is perhaps what is keeping investors a little bit cheerier than they might otherwise be.
But it's not just Netflix that's ramping up production. So are Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, HBO Max. How do they factor in?
Well, that is absolutely true. The consideration is perhaps which of those is the base layer. That everybody has kind of one streaming service, and then they add something else based on what their interests are. And the assumption is increasingly that Netflix is that base layer. You have Netflix because that kind of keeps you covered for the sort of basic demands. Then if you're interested in nature documentaries, you might add Discovery Plus. If you want children's shows, Disney Plus, and so on and so forth. And I think that resilience is what makes Netflix a particularly appealing prospect for investors. Abroad is where it's trying to replicate the same strategy. By adding plenty of foreign language shows, it wants also then to be the base layer in France, Germany, Spanish-speaking countries, Italy, India, and beyond.
Just about 15 seconds left here, Alex. But if Netflix is the base layer, can it raise subscription fees?
And that is the bull case, yes, that they have the ability to just eke an extra dollar out every year or two, and that really has a meaningful impact on the bottom line.
All right. Alex Webb, tech columnist, Bloomberg Opinion, thanks again for coming on with us this morning. Find more, Bloomberg.com/opinion, O-P-I-N. Go on the Bloomberg terminal for Alex's columns and much more offerings from our team at Bloomberg Opinion. And just checking shares of Netflix in the pre-market, little changed to the upside, Karen.
All right, Nathan. 5:53 on Wall Street. It is time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Tenth Circuit ruled that a provision of federal law that allows the State Department to revoke the passports of delinquent taxpayers does not violate the taxpayers' constitutional rights. A federal court dismissed a would-be class action against Apple. Plaintiffs claim the company knowingly sold 15-inch MacBook Pros with faulty cables. A federal district court ruled that McDonald's must face Florida employees' allegations that the company is liable for sexual harassment and discrimination at one location.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. A man who carried a Trump 2020 flag onto the Senate floor was sentenced to 8 months behind bars. It's the first prison term resulting from the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Paul Hodgkins pleaded guilty to obstructing an official proceeding. His punishment could offer a preview of what awaits others arrested over their actions that day. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English.
The sentencing guidelines were for 15 to 21 months, but the judge sentenced him below the guidelines and to less than half the time the prosecutors had asked for. Does it seem like a lenient sentence?
Well, what the judge did in this case was to more or less split the difference between what the defense was asking for and what prosecutors were asking for. Prosecutors were seeking 18 months, which was the middle of the guideline range, and the defense lawyer was asking for probation or house arrest. So this is an eight-month sentence. There will be 8 months that are served in this case because you don't get out early under the federal guidelines. And so it's a harsh sentence in the sense that there will be some real jail time that's imposed here. But on the other hand, if you look at the overall conduct that was involved, some people might look at this as a lenient sentence. That's the real puzzle with these sentences. Does the judge look at simply the individual acts, or does the judge look at the broader picture of the rioting and the violence carried out by the larger group?
This will set a bar, but do other judges sentencing defendants in this case have to follow this? Do they have to say, oh, Judge Moss only sentenced a man who wasn't violent to 8 months. I can't sentence this person to more than that.
No, not at all. Each judge has the right to make the individual decision as to what the sentence should be for the individual defendant. No two cases are the same. No two defendants are the same. Their backgrounds are different. Their conduct is different. The extent to which they cooperated with prosecutors might be different. So every single defendant will have a set of facts and circumstances unique to them, and each judge will decide for him or herself what the appropriate sentence will be. And I expect that we will see some disparity in sentencing among the various federal judges who handle these cases because they are so unique. There really is no precedent for this type of conduct. The Capitol has not been stormed in this country for more than 200 years, and so it's something that is not within the history of any of the judges who are sitting on the bench, and they're going to look at these facts and circumstances, and they're going to have to weigh the individual conduct against the symbolic impact of what the sentence will be. They're going to have to look at what the individual did, and they're also going to have to look at the impact that that conduct may have had on the larger group of individuals and on the country as a whole. That's going to be a very difficult balancing test.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 19 points. Dow futures up 196 and NASDAQ futures up 14. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.24%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.